After 20 minutes, when I was done, the longest, as I said, 20 minutes of my life, it's actually faster to go to Tokyo from here. After 20 minutes, I received a standing ovation. They all stood as one. And I stood there, and at a moment in time where I should have felt an immense sense of pride in accomplishing something that I never thought I could, which is to use my craft in a way that I'd never imagined, to convert my material into something that they could enjoy and that I had during any portion of it. Snap. 20 minutes is a long time for me to stand on stage and not fuck snap. And at that point where I should have felt that sense of accomplishment, I felt like a whore. Yes, I did. I certainly did. I've never had that feeling of just, I am a whore, I am a whore, fuck whore. I might as well have had on pink pumps and a bright red dress, a red wig and some rouge and glitter, because the guys like that, and worn contacts just to cutie up. And I'd have been really more proud of myself if I'd been blowing sailors at $5 a pop.
Trophy hoarder show where you won't get bored. I'm bored. I can't believe it made it past episode 4. But with the help of everybody at PG, Tynosaurus Rex, Donnie D. Oh my god, we done killed Tricky. We some bastards. We some bastards. But it's cool. We just being nuts. No fuss. He be back in the past, first class. And again, let me think about it. Meanwhile, thanks to the crowd. But listen to the show. Yo, we still on top. Don't kill a long way. Long way. Well, Tynosaurus, let's just say the SG paved the way. SG paved the way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Whores. This is episode 78. I am your host, Tricky Mick. Alongside with me, Alex.
How's it going, everybody? I would just like to say that I now have even more incentive to go pick up Metal Gear Solid 4 Guns of the Patriots.
You had more incentive before. You just used...
I said even more incentive, though.
Yeah, but you had enough incentive. There was no reason not to play that game. Do I need to send you that game, too? Oh, wait,
why do you let's hope this one works.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Why do you gotta ruin shit, Tricky?
I'm not ruining anything. I'm just, it's too early for me. we're recording way too early.
You have you had your 5 cups of coffee, Tricky?
I don't drink coffee. I'm on my 3rd beer, though.
I don't think that helps you stay awake.
I was supposed to try to stay awake? I thought the point was to get so drunk that I pass out and, I don't know.
Well, I mean, that would be good if Rain and I were there and we could draw on your face.
Oh, but
unfortunately...
The flying penis on the side of the cheek with the Sharpie? Gotta love it.
Well, but see, unfortunately, if you drop out of this call, it's like dropping in a multiplayer game. You kind of ruin everything.
You know, last time I was drunk around a group of people, I passed out and...
Woke up in a dress? No. Did you wake up in a dress?
Well, see, I don't normally go to parties. I'm not, like, a party goer. But somebody told me it's a rule that if you're going to get drunk at a party and you don't want to be fucked with, if you pass out, make sure you take off your shoes.
Yeah, that's the rule I've always heard. And, you know, my thing is, in college, I passed out with my shoes on all the time. The times I did, I never got fucked with. So I got lucky, but I've always heard that if you have your shoes on, you are basically telling people, hey, have at it.
So it's just like a universal signal. It's like a tie on the doorknob sort of thing.
Well see, I guess it's that if you pass out with your shoes on, you're so drunk that people can just fuck with you. But when you take your shoes off, it's like, okay, I'm making a conscious decision to go to sleep because I'm tired and people don't want to fuck with you when you're just sleeping.
Oh, that's nice. I never heard that rule.
Yeah, it's basically saying that you have the presence of mind to say, listen, I know I'm not
passing out. I'm going to sleep.
Right.
Now that makes sense.
But the one time I did go to a party and got so drunk, I passed out with my shoes on. Woke up, I had no eyelashes. and the bad part about it is I didn't know it for like another 8 hours after I woke up.
Oh, no one's ever going to tell you.
because I got in my car, I drove home, I went back to sleep, woke up the next day, my girlfriend at the time called me, she was coming over, I opened up the door, and she goes, "What the fuck?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "Go look in a mirror," and I was like, "You motherfuckers."
That's craziness.
8 hours later.
Did you check downstairs after that, too?
Listen, I didn't have to, but let me just tell you something. If they shave downstairs, I gotta get new friends.
Those are your real friends, though. They're the ones that'll fuck with you like that.
Yeah, somebody told me, because, you know, I was judging about the quality of my friends one time. They said, a real friend would come bail you out of jail. A true friend would be in the jail cell next to you going, "Damn, we really fucked shit up."
Some of the shit we did in college was crazy. Like, we had a keg in, the giant big 55-gallon trash cans, and the ice was in that, you know, to keep the keg cool. Well, the next day after the keg was floated, one of our friends was in the shower, so we went in, busted into the bathroom, and tossed the whole 55-gallon drum of ice-cold water on him in the shower. It was just nuts. And then another time we took another guy.
Did that guy come out swinging out of the bathroom?
No, he was
the shower.
It's just the way it happens. One of my other friends, we dragged him out of the shower in the dorm rooms. We dragged him out of the shower, and we handcuffed him butt freaking naked to the rail outside of the dorm room for like 15 minutes. We all went back inside and sat there and watched TV for a while, and he was handcuffed to the rail outside the dorm room. He couldn't do anything. He was butt freaking naked because we dragged him out of the shower. Does that mean, you know, if your friends are willing to fuck with you when you're butt naked, those are your real friends?
See, you got pretty crazy. The worst thing I ever did, like, while I was in the dorms, me and one of my buddies, we would take like our friends' beds and like throw them in the hallway. We actually took one friend's bed and threw it in the shower.
That's like basic training, fucking with people.
No, I know. We didn't get as extreme as you, Rain. I don't know if anybody handcuffs their friends naked outside a college dorm.
He was a law enforcement. He was going for law enforcement, so he had like the baton and the handcuffs and all that, Jack. And we just decided to use his tools against him, handcuffed him to the rail, naked.
All right, let's get through our intros before we get sidetracked.
what do you mean before we get sidetracked?
All right, yeah, I don't know. We're already going down a dangerous path. Well, you've heard him talk, and you've heard his name already. Of course, he's fresh off his alien probe in MN Rain.
What's the business, everybody? Yeah, just doing what I'm doing. Working, playing some PlayStation when I get a time, but, glad to be on the show.
All right, so let's go into updated trophy count. I am level 21, trophy count of 4,005. Yes, I broke the 4,000 plateau, and still plat of 30. Alex, what about you, buddy?
I need to check my trophies.
Oh, my Lord.
Unprofessional. I am sorry.
All right, while we're waiting for you, let's go to Rain.
I'm actually sitting at the bottom of the totem pole, I know for sure. Level 13, 1,213 total trophy count, 11 platinum. Since the last time I was on the show, I did add a platinum. It was Trine 2, which was like stupid easy. I think me and my friend got that in like 4 hours of playing co-op on Trine 2.
So would Trine 2 be your first unofficial shameful platinum?
It would be the easiest by far, yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a shameful platinum. I mean, like, Puss in Boots, that's a shameful platinum, but Trine 2? I mean, people really like the first Trine. I can't imagine the second Trine's bad.
You can get Trine 2's platinum by the 7th level.
Yeah, I played Trine 2 for the platinum, 4 hours of playing it, and I still don't understand that game. I guess it's not my genre. Like, I sat there, I've got a platinum, I just don't understand this game, but it's all good because I added a platinum to it.
Alright, Alex, you ready to go?
Yes, the PlayStation Network has decided to finally cooperate. I am at level 18 still, and I have still 29 platinums, but I did finish up Sideway New York and get 100% trophies for that. So, you know, a little bit of an achievement there, if not a platinum. And my total trophy count is
2823. All right, buddy. You're going, why don't you tell us what you've been playing? You said you've been playing a little bit of Sideway, right?
Yeah, still a little more Sideway, but I've finished that up, so I think I'm done with that. The new game that I started playing this week is Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. And I haven't gotten too far into that. I actually downloaded it last night, and I played through the first level. So I got a couple trophies in that. But so far, it seems really fun. I know Donnie's been playing a little bit of it. It's a lot different. I've never played a Tomb Raider game before, and it's a lot different, as you know, from the other action-adventure Tomb Raiders, the kind of 3D exploration ones. This one's more of a isometric view, kind of twin-stick shooter thing. Well, not really a twin-stick shooter, but you use the sticks to pull out your weapons and then R2 to shoot them. And so far I'm having fun with it. So, and I'd like to get into some co-op. So if there's anybody out there who's listening that has Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, any PlayStation Plus member to have downloaded, give me a call. Give me a shout sometime on PSN. My PSN ID is Race Havoc. I'd love to play. So
yeah, it's hopefully the online co-op works better than that and than in All for One, huh?
Yeah, All for One. We had some bad nights for All with All for One, where we had to restart games like 7 or 8 times. But sometimes it's down to one person's connection, because I would be playing some nights, and there'd be like 3 of us, and the same person would keep dropping out every time. So maybe it has to do sometimes with the connections. But yeah, we had a lot of issues with that online.
All right, what about you, Rain? What have you been playing?
I've been working on my Gran Turismo 5, just slowly working towards the platinum. I know the game's been out for 2 years, and I figure it may take me another 2 years, but I will eventually have the platinum in that game. I've been grinding out the license tests, trying to get gold on each of those, and some of them you'll sit there for 45 minutes to an hour just doing the same corner over and over and over again, just trying to cut like 2/1,000th of a second off your time so you can get that gold time. I've been doing that. Just started playing a couple days ago Borderlands with one of my friends. This is the first time I'd played it, and we're doing a co-op run through trying to get the platinum on that, and I'm actually enjoying the game a lot. It's a lot of fun. Other than that, that's just pretty much been it as far as games that I've been playing.
Yeah, I might have to hook up with you with Borderlands, because the people that said they would play with me, the reason I bought the game, decided to bail on me and now told me they're not going to play with me no more. So now I have a game that I can't play by myself, so I might have to do some co-op with you.
That'll work. Yeah, there's 2 of us now, and then I've got another friend who he actually just bought it a couple days ago. He wants to play with us, but it's, you know, 4-player co-op, and the more the merrier for sure.
The one thing that confuses me about that game is in the game the missions don't really have a level to them. So what sucks is, like, when I was playing with Hard Rock, Titanic, or Moonshiner, they're all level 60. So while they can go in and one shot kill things, when you bring in a level 60, it makes the enemies harder.
Yeah, everybody boosts up.
So me, I'm walking around, they're, you know, the enemies are one shot killing me, and because they're levels, so it might be easier for me to run through with somebody that's, you know, right around the same level as me.
Yeah, I think we got up to level 10.
Tricky, I think your problem is you're not using enough strategery.
You worked it in.
There's the word. We do, like, on Pee-wee's Playhouse, where we all scream when you use the word.
Ah! We need like a little bell, a little sound effect.
I'll put in a bell right there for you. All right. Well, let's see. I've been playing a little bit of Metal Gear Solid 2, a little of Treasures of Montezuma Blitz, and all I'm gonna say is fuck you, Titanic Wang.
What are you losing again?
Look, I.
Is Titanic just, like, a savant at that game? Is he just, like, the best player ever at Montezuma's?
Well, let me explain something to you about the game. It's, like I said, it's Bejeweled on crack. But the problem is that in order to get the really, really high scores, you have to use what they call as the bonuses or the totems. But you have to spend jewels in order to use them. So, like, on a level where you're spending, I don't know, 350 jewels to use the bonuses and the totems, you're only making back like 15 jewels.
Yeah, there's no way you're gonna break even on any of those levels. I mean, you're going into the hole.
So
after
a while, you're just playing the level, just hoping to rebuild up the jewels, or, you know, hopefully you get lucky on the daily scratch, in which they give you jewels. But I went through and I got a score of like 417,000, something like that. And Rain, I don't even know what the hell you did to get over 1 million, but we'll just leave that at that.
Have you updated it yet? Did you do that? That update made such a difference. Like, and I, The guys in Britain, they got the update like a month before we did, and I was seeing their scores up to like the 2 millions, and I was like, there's no way you can get a 2 million freaking score.
But
yeah, I mean that update made a huge difference.
Are we trying to say that they're cheaters?
No. This update that they gave is a huge, you know, it has all these extra features, I guess, that makes it so it's a lot easier to build up a higher score.
And it's just like I said, I scored like over 400,000, and I beat Titanic. I was like, yeah, motherfucker, I got you. I go back like 20 minutes later, and he got like 600,000. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, Smelly keeps doing really, that to me.
I think he's just really good at that game, Tricky. You need to ask him to train you, like a sensei.
And what else I've been playing? I've been playing a little bit of Lego Batman 2, and I'm 2 trophies away right now. All I have to do is get gold on all the Justice League missions, which I only have 2 more to do, and I'll have that platinum.
Have you unlocked Killer Croc yet?
Yes.
Is he awesome?
He's a piece of shit.
You are a jerk. What about Clayface? Clayface is awesome.
I didn't unlock him yet.
Why do you gotta stomp on my dreams?
Because it's so easy. Speaking of easy, let's get into our four topics. PlayStation has released their best-selling PlayStation Network games for the month of June. I'm not going to list all the top 20 of the PSN games. I'm just going to go over the notables. Number one was Magic the Gathering Duels of the Planeswalker 2013. Number two was The Walking Dead, the game for episode 1. 3 was Journey. Some other notables on here was 5 for Arkham City. Fight Night Champion is number 9, which surprised me.
It's just the story mode that they allow available on that, on the Fight Night Champion. You can go on PSN and just buy the story mode. Because if you buy it on disc, it's got, like, you know, the whole full, you know, Fight Night Champion where you can go build a fighter and do all that stuff. But the nice thing, the best part of that game, and the only part I actually played, was the story mode. And that's what they've done, is they've just taken that piece of the game, put it on PSN for a cheaper price so you can play it. And I would recommend anybody play that, because it's like almost like a Rocky story. It's really good.
Alright. Number 14. I'm sorry.
You keep going. I'll go after you finish.
14 was the episodes of Liberty City. 15 and 16 were Slide 3 and Slide 2, respectively. And, yeah, that's all for the PSN list. Alex, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I mean, one of the really big surprises to me is a couple of the games that are hanging around, like Infamous Festival of Blood, which came out last fall. And then you've got Castle Crashers, which came out even longer ago. They're kind of still hanging around. It's really good to see also the Sly games on there, because I love the Sly games. I love the Sly games, so it's good to see them. And then, like, I'm Alive from Ubisoft. I haven't heard really that many great things about it, but every month that game seems to be in the top 4 or 5. So that's a little surprising. And then The Walking Dead, the game. That's for the past 3 months, that's been up there at number 1 or number 2. And again, if you haven't played that game, download the bundle. You'll save $5 as opposed to buying all the episodes one by one. Episode 1 is good. Episode 2 is far better. So, well, The Walking Dead, I can't recommend that highly enough.
I still haven't played Episode 2 yet.
It's so good. You play it, and you will come on here, and you will sing my praises and be like, Alex, you were so right.
I haven't played it. What I'm doing is I'm waiting until all the episodes get released, because I don't want to have this whole thing that a lot of people are having, where you play through it, you get, you know, you have such a great experience, and then you've got to sit there and wait for the next episode to come out. I want to wait till they're all out. I can play them all in one big chunk.
That's exactly why I haven't played episode 2, is because I'm like, I'm not hyped anymore. It's like, I don't have that desire to see, oh, what's going to happen next. I pretty much feel like I'm beating The Walking Dead, and now I'm just playing its sequel.
Yeah, see, so I'm going to wait until all the episodes get released. That way I can just go through and beat it all in one shot.
And one other thing about this, Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown, the only game offered as free for PlayStation Plus this month that shows up on the list.
Does that surprise you at all? Or?
Well, I mean, some of those other games like Ratchet and Clank and Sideway, I guess some people might have purchased earlier. But at the same time, they're free games, and I figure with how many people are on the PlayStation Network, you have to figure more than one would show up on here. wonder.
Now, do you think this is? Do you think this is? Because a couple of these games were games we got free trials for. You think they're counting those as part of it?
What the free trials? You mean?
Yeah, because they gave us a free trial for Arkham City, Grand Theft Auto 4, the episodes of Liberty City. You know, a couple.
I don't think so, because it says best selling, and you don't have to. You're not selling anything just for the free trial. So I just think that with how many games we've gotten free, like Just Cause 2 is another free one. I know that's an older game, but still, there are a lot of people out there who I assume wouldn't have, like, even you know, with how many people bought those games, I assume that, you know, obviously not everyone did, so I just figured I'd see more than one of those games on this list, considering they were free.
I wonder how it counts them, too, because, like, I put them all on my download list as soon as they came up free, but I haven't actually physically downloaded them onto my PlayStation, so I wonder if it counts it when I click it to download, or when I actually go through and download it, you know, like...
I would assume it's when you actually buy it, because they're going to assume that if you bought it, you've downloaded it.
And the other
thing
is, like, I will see notifications on some of the social media sites where it says, so-and-so has purchased this game, and it's, even at the discounted price, it says that just whenever you, say, purchase, you click purchase, not necessarily when you download it from the PlayStation Store.
Maybe it doesn't count the PS Plus subscribers, then. Maybe it's just counting people who actually pay money for it.
It's possible. All right, let's move on a little bit, guys. The top 10 PlayStation Vita games. Number 1, Metal Gear Solid HD Collection. Number 2, Gravity Rush. 3, Tabletop Tanks. 4, Pure Chess. 5, Escape Plan. 6, Pulsar. 7, Resistance Burning Skies. 8, The Pinball Arcade. 9, Lego Batman 2. And number 10 was Plants vs. Zombies.
We all know how much you love Plants vs. Zombies, Tricky.
I'm actually going to go back and play that tonight on my way to work.
Now, Tricky, are those any of those PSP games that you would, or PS Vita? I always do that. I always confuse too. Any of the Vita games that you would recommend to people?
The HD Collection, absolutely. I haven't personally played Gravity Rush yet. Escape Plan is a game that... It's one of those games where you have to, like, sit down and have time to think about it. But it's also one of those games where you're not going to sit down and play for a long time. Yeah, so, I mean, I would say get Escape Plan, but don't, you know, think it's going to be a game
Escape
of the year.
Escape Plan, it's a well-made game. It's got a really neat art style, and the parts of it are really cool. But yeah, like you said, it's not like something that you're going to sit there for hours and play and play and play. I've heard great things about Gravity Rush. I haven't tried it yet. And another one of those on the list that kind of jumped out at me because I saw like a video about it was the Tabletop Tanks. It's like an augmented reality game that you actually play on your tabletop where it's like you're running around like, you know, with your little tanks and you're shooting at each other and stuff like that, which seemed really intriguing to me. I haven't tried it yet. I have a couple friends who actually bought it, but I haven't tried it yet. But it seemed like a neat idea.
And let me ask you a question. What have you guys heard about Resistance Burning Skies? Because I haven't really heard a lot of good things.
I've heard not heard anything kind of, good about it.
I've heard it's like kind of frustrating to use the controls. It's, you know, there's bugs and stuff, and it's, you know, it doesn't look that good. Like, I've heard a lot of, you know, I've heard some good, but mostly bad, which is kind of got to be really disappointing to a lot of people because it's, you know, it's the dual stick shooter, like first person shooter on your Vita, which is what a lot of people were excited for, and especially for such a big series for PlayStation and Resistance. And Tricky, have you heard anything that much good about it, or was that a game you were planning to buy?
You know, that's actually a funny story. I actually thought I bought it, but apparently I didn't buy it. I only had the demo, which, I mean, now I'm actually grateful I didn't buy it. You know, I figured I'm going to try a first-person shooter on the Vita to see if, you know, maybe possibly because I'm playing on a Vita and not on a big TV, I can actually play it a little better. It's, from what I saw, it's a game I would play, but it's not a game I would buy. I would say rent it more than anything.
Okay.
But no, that's just, I mean, but that's all, you got to take that into credit, that this is coming from a person that doesn't play first-person shooters. And I think, as Matt said, it's Resistance Burning Skies proves that an FPS can be made on the Vita, but it just wasn't well done.
Yeah, I just heard it fell way short on expectations.
And then, too, right. Like, the Nihilistic, the team that handled it, that actually did develop it, it wasn't Insomniac, Nihilistic did it. The games that they had previously worked on, not a great pedigree from what I'm seeing out of that lineup of games, so... Maybe it's just a case of not finding the right developer for that.
The wrong studio.
Yeah, and of course, a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we heard that Sony has no definitive plans right now for Resistance. So how would it be if we don't get much Resistance for a while, except for this game? Not really a great note to end on.
I would say that they, I mean, they really have no choice, because it's like Catch-22. It's either they throw out a game real quick to satisfy the masses, and that game falls short, or they don't give us one for a while, and then I think the best option is probably just go away for about 3-4 years and come back with an awesome Resistance game to bring everybody back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's just like a movie franchise, you know. If you've made a bad, you know, set of movies, you give it a break for a while and then come back strong. I think that's probably the best bet that they have.
Yeah.
Just don't pull the Michael Bay route and bring back the Turtles and Aliens.
Don't do that.
Moving on to our next topic. We have recently learned that Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment, which is most notable recently for Batman Arkham City and Batman Arkham Asylum, is rumored to be making a sequel to the games, which is actually a prequel. The rumor is that the next Batman game they're going to be making is going to be based in the past, back when Batman first met the Joker. And he's going to be teaming up with the iconic DC heroes from that era, from the, you know, about the 1956-1970 era, like Superman, The Flash, when they first established the Justice League. Now, gentlemen, I know you both did play both the games, but would you be interested in going back and playing a prequel?
You know, I think I'd eat up anything they threw at us at this point. I mean, the first two games were so great. I mean, I'd give it a shot regardless. I don't know a whole lot about the actual universe and you know, where all it comes from. But, I mean, what better way to be introduced to it than through one of these games, since the last two were just so good.
Yeah, I mean, Rain makes a really good point there that they blew us away with Arkham. They beat expectations with Arkham Asylum because everyone was kind of skeptical. And then they're just like, oh, well, they can't make a really good superhero game, have they? Because they, you know, it hasn't been done that often before. And then they completely, I thought they just blew everything away with Arkham City. I really enjoyed Arkham City. I thought it went, even though I like the density of Arkham Asylum, I think that they did a great job, an even better job with Arkham City. My only worry with this game is, you know, they're talking about throwing in the Justice League heroes. I'm worried that they're going to throw in way too many people. And, I mean, the great part about playing a Batman game is that you're Batman, and I worry that they're going to put way too much focus on the other Justice League heroes and kind of just smush a lot of stuff in there where it doesn't belong. And they also talk about that the game is trying to, you know, this speculates that this might be trying to create hype for the Justice League film sometime in the next few years. And if that's the case, you know, I mean, I would rather Rocksteady just have free reign over what they create rather than trying to say, okay, well, here's this movie coming out. We need you to, you know, kind of work this into your game so we can kind of create hype for it, you know?
Well, I don't see it that way. I see this as a way of getting everybody introduced to the characters, but I don't think they're going to be making this game as, like, you know, the opening to the Justice League movie. I think they're just making this game, you know, introducing you to the characters. I mean, the Silver Age Justice League consisted of 7 heroes back in the time. It was Superman, Batman, Aquaman, Flash, Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter, and Wonder Woman. And, I mean, most of these we know. I mean, Aquaman, you know, I've had a heated debate that he doesn't really do shit. But, you know, I'm looking at this as a way to introduce us to the characters. And as far as you're worried that they'll focus more on the Justice League than on anybody else, I mean, both Batman games were very, what's the word I want to use here? They were very cameo heavy. So I don't think that's going to be a problem, because in both games, we had so many cameos and it didn't interfere with the story. I think Rocksteady knows what they're doing as far as that goes.
Yeah, I see it, the Justice League, I think they'll play it a lot like they played the villains in the other two games, where they're just kind of, you know, ancillary, and, you know, the story kind of revolves around going through with and doing things with them, but I don't think, I mean, it would be a mistake, in my opinion, if they even, you know, tried to make them sort of like playable characters or whatnot. I think that'd be the wrong way to go.
That kind of worries me, what you hit on right there, making them playable, Rain. But, I mean, we're talking about Superman and The Flash. some of the characters that got cameos in Arkham City were like the Mad Hatter, you know, and lesser villains. You know, Hush maybe was the most notable of the villains who got some play in there. But a lot of those guys, like, you know, Killer Croc and Scarecrow, they weren't really big villains, but we're talking about, you know, like Superman and you know, not everyone that we just listed there, like Aquaman, and, you know, they're not really huge characters in DC, but Superman and Wonder Woman and The Flash certainly are. I mean, they deserve more than cameos in the game.
You know, I just thought of something. Like, what if they worked it as sort of like even a co-op campaign? You know, where...
No. You don't think so? No. I'm thinking that's what they might do, but please, God, no.
One of the things about the Arkham City and Arkham Asylum is they're dark, you know? How can you make a really dark... I don't see how Superman would fit into that world in The Flash and the Green Lantern. Yeah,
Superman's always in a really bright...
I don't see how they fit into the whole scheme there. And
I don't think they're gonna make like a. I know we're saying it's a sequel, but it's a prequel. I really don't think they're gonna go into that universe. I think they're gonna have to develop a whole new universe, get away from the darkness. I mean, you look at the Batman movies now. The Batman movies back in the 90s are very different from the movies now. It's because this is. The Dark Knight series, where the old Batmans were Batman.
But it's always been dark. I mean, anytime you're dealing with Batman, you're dealing with a lot of darkness. That's just the way it is.
That darkness surrounds his character. Yeah,
if you change the tone of this series, like after showing people the Scarecrow scenes in the first game, and, you know, Killer Croc and seeing, like, just him just there in the first game and how creepy he was and straight out scary, you can't change the tone of these games. People will be complaining like crazy.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, you're just going to turn it into like a kids, you know, type game if you go away from the darkness that we've already been exposed to.
All right. Well, I have some good news, guys. We're going to step out of the darkness very, very soon. And you guys were talking about people bitching. Well, people have been bitching for 4 years now, asking for one thing, and guys, we're finally going to get it.
Are they bringing back salsa Doritos?
Salsa Doritos.
Are we getting squeezed back?
Now you've stolen his thunder. Now the topic's not going to seem that good because you brought up
salsa Doritos. I steal thunder and put it in a cage.
Well, I have a question. You guys don't have salsa Doritos?
No, they disappeared from shelves here in Kentucky, and I'm kind of pissed off about it.
I honestly haven't been looking for them. They've got the new Doritos jacked. I don't know if that's any tie in there.
No. Okay.
Anyway,
so
my thunder's been stolen.
So, all right. Well, Tricky, what are we getting?
No.
Don't you be a diva. Come on.
No. I'm gonna be in my dress room now.
No. Here we go.
All right, guys.
All that beer. They're depressants. What are you doing? Bringing you down.
Well, apparently in August. I'm going to be getting trophies for a game that I've been waiting. That was really loud in my ear.
That was really loud in all of our ears.
That wasn't loud in my ears.
Wow. Yes, Metal Gear Solid 4 is finally getting trophies. Woo! Oh my god. Everybody kept saying, you know, why are you holding on to Metal Gear Solid 4? I said, because it's going to get trophies. That game ain't never getting trophies. It's been 4 fucking years. Well, you know what? I'm getting fucking trophies now.
That was my very first ever PlayStation 3 game, and I still have it on my shelf for that very reason, and I am ecstatic.
Well, to make the news even better, it was also announced that with the patch, you are finally going to be able to install the data onto your hard drive, so you don't have to stand there and watch all those loading scenes in between chapters.
I don't have to watch Snake smoke a cigarette for 3 hours?
Now, Alex, I'm going to start with you, because I know that you're not as big a Metal Gear Solid fan as us, and we actually didn't even do the Metal Gear status account with you, so why don't you start with your status account and then tell us about what you think about the show.
Well, I haven't even been keeping track of how long it's been, how many weeks it's been. I've kind of stopped playing Metal Gear Solid for a little bit because I've been playing other games. I'm going to get back to it, I promise. So, and I'll do a better job of keeping track. But actually, you know what, Tricky, since you brought it up, I'll let you keep track of my my Metal Gear weeks.
You've been given a job.
This is week four.
Oh, so
this is week four.
Week four, okay. Week four, and I got halfway through Metal Gear Solid, and the disc kind of crapped out on me. So
you broke my game.
I did not break your game. Your game was the game that you got you from GameStop does not work.
Somebody was playing Frisbee outside with it, skipping it on the pavement.
So one of the employees took it home and had a party with it. I
bought the Metal Gear collection for the PlayStation 2, never opened the box, sent it to Alex, and all of a sudden my game is busted.
But you said you had never even played it.
I downloaded it on PSN. It was $10.
Yeah, see, Tricky mailed it to me after we found out that it was on the PlayStation Network. Neither of us thought to check. Well, see, I asked, is it on the PlayStation?
Oh, no, I sent it to you before.
Yeah, I asked you, is it on the PlayStation Network? And Tricky's like, no, I don't think so. And neither of us even went to look and make sure. So he sent me it, and I get halfway through. I just beat Sniper Wolf, and it gets to the point where I'm going through the door, and the guys gang up on me and beat me up and knock me out, and the game just kind of stops. So I got halfway through that, and I kind of moved on to Metal Gear Solid 3 and Metal Gear Solid 2, kind of switching back and forth between those two. But I'm gonna go through Metal Gear Solid 3 first to do the timeline.
You cannot do that. You have to do two.
My little brother started playing the series that way now because he'd already played them before. He started playing them chronologically, so he started with 3, and he's going through.
The first time you play it, you have to go 1, 2, 3, 4.
See, I'm going to name drop here because Candace said that I should play Snake Eater first.
No, because Rain, without spoiling it, if he goes 1, 3, 2, 4, at the end of 4. Is he going to get impacted the way we were impacted?
There's a lot of stuff that gets filled in, you know, early on that at the end of 4, you just don't quite understand. I mean, you know, the ending is the ending, but it's not a huge revelation like it is if you played the other ones in order. If that makes sense.
If you don't play 1, 2, 3, 4, when you get to 4, the revelation is not as impactful. Where if you play Snake Eater before you play Sons of Liberty, if you do that, it doesn't have the same impact.
I don't know. I think I'm going to test your theory, Tricky, and see.
trust me, when I say I went through, right now with the HD collection, I played 2, then I played 3. Even though chronologically 3 comes before 2, I played 2 and then 3. And right now, I'm going back and playing 2 because I'm going to start on 1, I'm going to go to 2, I'm going to do 3, and then when trophies come out for 4, I'm going to go through 4 again.
All right. Well, let's get back onto the topic and trophies for 4. like you said earlier, I had incentive to play through Metal Gear Solid 4 before because the story tidbits that I have gotten so far, as far as I got through Metal Gear Solid, they were some really good. Even though some of the cutscenes lasted a little long, the story was starting to get good. So I'm looking forward to – so I do have incentive to get that, but having trophies doesn't hurt. You know, get that extra little incentive to get trophies is definitely a little bit more of a reason. You know, it's a bonus. It's a bonus. So it's good that people are finally going to get the chance to go for trophies in that game because a lot of people love that game and they want to play it again. And if they're going to play through it again, why not give them trophies too? So it's good that they've finally come out with this because, like you said, at some point – no one ever thought it was going to happen. It just kind of fell by the wayside, and we're like, you know what? Let's just forget about it and move on.
It had to have been one of the number one most requested things for, the last 5 years. That's all I've ever heard from anybody. Now what's been bumped up to the list is the Kingdom Hearts HD collection. They need to start listening to people.
Well, it's funny because this was always on, in forums and whatnot. This was the most requested thing, only right above Cross Game Chat. And then once Cross Game Chat was said, oh, we can't do it, then the Kingdom Hearts HD collection.
It's called Skype. Cross Game Chat, it's called Skype.
Now, Rain, how much you want to bet that there's a gold trophy for beating the game and getting the big boss emblem?
I don't doubt it at all. I don't know that I'll be ever able to get the platinum trophy in MGS4, but I mean, any trophies that I can grab, I'm all for it. I love the game, and I can't wait to play it again. Are they going to be releasing a new retail version as well to cover all this, or?
From what I understand, they're going to be releasing another version, like a 25-year anniversary one. It's called the PlayStation 3, the best budget version of the game, and it's being released in Japan. Now, I don't know that if it's coming to the States, but they did say that the new version that's coming out in Japan, and if you already own the copy, you'll be able to get a download, a patch for it. So, I'm sure there's
going to be people importing the game. I wonder what they're going to try and sell it for. Like price wise, because I mean, you can pick up the old one for $20 or less in a lot of places. I hope they're not trying to, you know, without throwing in, you know, some incentive to actually boost the price of the game again.
Well, see, this also surprises me because Metal Gear Solid 4 is the only game in the series that didn't get I don't want to say reboot because it's not a reboot, but a re-release, because you had Metal Gear 1 and then, you know, on the GameCube came Twin Snakes. Then on 2, you had Sons of Liberty, and then you had Subsistence. Yeah, yeah. And then 3 was Snake Eater, and then they re-released it as Substance. Yeah. 4 never got a re-release.
That's true.
So, I mean, maybe that they're going to be adding something onto this new version.
I mean, that might be an incentive for people, even like us, who have sat on our original copy to go out and pick up a new copy.
I would definitely do it.
But otherwise, I don't see the appeal. I mean, there's still copies on the shelf that can be had for $20 or less now since it's been so long. I don't know how they're going to expect to pick up a lot of extra sales. I mean, not that they don't deserve it. I mean, everybody who's out there who doesn't have this game anymore, you know, when the trophies come out, if they want to play it again, they should definitely go out and buy a new copy just to support the developers, because I think they deserve that support. But it'd be nice if they gave us a little more incentive to go out and do it.
How many people do you think are kicking themselves right now going, damn, I knew I should have sold that
game?
Oh,
I'm sure there's plenty of people. I mean, the sales for a 4-year-old game are going to skyrocket once this patch hits.
At the same time, those people who are probably saying that probably won't have any problem buying the game again.
Oh, they probably went to the store already and bought it just to make sure they had it.
Well, they're probably waiting for the best version.
You know, while you guys are discussing this, I'm going to go on eBay right now and see if anybody jack up their price. Yeah.
Well, yeah. See, I mean, like, it'd be nice if they threw in even some extras, like a collector's edition that, you know, had a few little bits and bobs in it. But, you know, like, if they're not going to actually add extra content to the game, but just something, you know, I mean, they could boost the price up on it for sure, but they'd have to give you a little bit of incentive to do it.
See, to me, those collector's editions are overrated because, at least to me, like, I don't ever use half the stuff that comes in those. You know, I mean, one thing I really like is a soundtrack, but yet then they give you like cloth maps and art books. How many times do you look at an art book?
Like once or twice, and then it goes away.
And then they give you figures, which most people will probably put on their desk for like 5 months and then get rid of them, like throw them away at a garage sale or say, I'm tired of this, why? I don't want this.
What'd you find?
Oh, you gotta have to see that.
Apparently Tricky has found something that he wants to buy.
Oh, I am buying that.
Metal Gear Solid 4 Limited Edition Factory Sealed UK Guns of the Patriots with an action figure in there. Does that come with the game?
$650. Wow.
Yep.
You better get on the street and start doing a lot of hooking.
A signed copy of Metal Gear Solid 4 Factory Sealed, $300.
I thought we talked about it a few episodes ago, or maybe it was 5 or 6, where spending way too much money on stuff like this.
I don't know.
You're going to have to go find a mattress next to a trash can and get some girl to sleep with you for it.
The one nice thing is that shipping is only $4.
Well, they're going to give you a break on the shipping.
Since you're paying $650.
I just found a used copy of Metal Gear Solid 4, and the highest price it's going for is $120 right now.
That's insane.
How many bidders? Or is it one of those buy now deals?
It's a buy-it-now deal.
Like, I don't know. I mean, you can go down to your local GameStop and pick up a damn copy of Metal Gear Solid 4. I think, well, probably Walmart and Target and stuff like that probably don't have it on the shelf anymore. But I know GameStop has, you know, at least a copy or two. And you're definitely not paying $300 for it.
I don't know. You might be able to go to a store and find one of the greatest hits. Like, they have that red packaging for the PlayStation 3 equivalent of greatest hits. You might be able to find those at some stores.
Yeah, you know, but the thing is, like, my personal preference, I hate picking up boxes like that because I want the original box.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to go with what you got.
you know what? I'd rather just like, if I pick up a greatest hits, I should go in the GameStop and switch out the covers.
Well, see, the good thing about the PlayStation 2 versions was they had that red band at the top on the paper on the cover art, but the case was still the same. With a PS3, you got these big, ugly red ones.
Yeah, the whole new red case. Yeah,
those are ugly.
That's why I go in and steal another case.
Tricky just admitted to what was probably a misdemeanor. His local GameStop right here on Trophy Horse.
Well, I used to have a friend that worked at GameStop, so I'd go in and say, yo, I'm switching out the case. He's like, yeah, go ahead. Because if you remember, like, when you bought Guitar Hero 5, you got Guitar Hero Van Halen for free. But when they sent you the game, they just sent you the disc. They didn't send you the box.
A paper sheath.
Those are the worst.
So I went into GameStop, and I said, yo, what's up? And I walked in, grabbed the box, and walked out. He goes, what are you doing? I said, they didn't give me a box. He goes, oh, okay.
Wow.
And I walked right out.
I don't know if you can get away with that with anybody else.
I did something like that similar. I had a friend that at one of my jobs, and he would, you know, give copies of movies on DVD, and he'd give them to you in a little jewel case. And I'm, you know, kind of a stickler about that sort of thing. So I'd buy the DVD cases, and then I actually went into my local Blockbuster, and I stole the art, you know, the paper that comes in the DVD case. I pulled those out of the one so I could take them home and put them in my DVD cases. So on my shelf, it looks like it's like a retail copy of the movie, even though it's on a burned DVD.
See, what used to happen to me is, you know that those little sticky security devices that come with, like, DVDs and games and stuff?
Yeah,
sometimes those would leave a little residue on my case, and when you put it in, like, a collection, like, when you stack them with other games or movies, the cases would get stuck together. And that would always, always piss me off. So I don't go into GameStop and, you know, just take shit, Tricky. What I did is I would go onto eBay and buy like extra, like, because people on there are like selling extra cases now, where they like extra empty cases now, where they got those cases, I don't know. That's
Tricky. Sell the ones you picked up at GameStop.
That's their business. All I know is that I did it the honest way.
That's how I pay $650 for an imported version of Metal Gear Solid.
I did it honestly. I walked in and said, hey, I'm taking it. I didn't do it sneakily.
You tried to, because you didn't. You only said, hey, I'm taking this after someone calls you out.
No, he looked at me weird, like, why did I walk in and walk out? And I said, because I didn't say anything to him. He had a line of people in front of him. I just walked in, grabbed it, and I stuck my hand up, showed him what I was doing.
You
know, he goes, huh?
You know, Rain, I can see Tricky going into a GameStop with a big old trench coat and just stuffing empty PS3 cases into his trench coat.
I believe it.
All right. We got to move on.
It's not stealing if you don't get caught.
It's not stealing if you tell them what you're doing. All right. Speaking of telling us what to do, Square Enix Worldwide Technology Director Julian Mercier, I think I said that his name right, recently said that his opinions is that the current generation of consoles has gone on far too long. And he's actually saying that because of the length of the generation, game companies, which are actually suffering because they can't develop for the new system and feel that by the time they figure out the technology, they'll be able to move on to the next platform and their games would suffer.
Oh, suffering because they don't have to learn a bunch of new complicated hardware that they're going to complain that is too hard to code for?
I don't think that's
suffering.
What I was thinking.
That's
like,
not suffering at all.
I mean, they've already perfected working on this generation of system. You think they could just use that knowledge to create better content instead of bitching and complaining that they want the next generation to come out already?
Well, I mean, the stories were is that when the PlayStation 3 came out, a lot of people were having a hard time developing for it. But once you were able to do it, you know, some of the greatest games were ever made. And I'm not saying that as a Sony fanboy. I'm saying that as that's actually what
that was
they
the
said.
Reports,
that
yeah.
Once they learned the technology, they learned that the PlayStation might be hard to develop for, but once you get it down, some amazing shit can happen.
Yeah, but I mean, they know the hardware now, so I don't see why they would have a problem. And they don't, you know, they're not in the hardware game, so why do they care about making money? Like, you know, they make software, so why aren't they happy just continue to make games for these new systems? I mean, well, and plus,
because you gotta look at it this way. It's like let's say right now today you get a vision to make a game, by the time you learn the technology, they're probably going to be moving on to the PlayStation 4, and then nobody's going to buy your game because everybody's moving on to the next generation.
But Aquarius doesn't have that problem because they've already developed games for the system, so they should already know the ins and outs, and it should be dead simple for them as far as the technical standpoint. Then all they got to do is just come up with the content. You know, I mean, it's intellectual property at that point. It's not having to fight with the system to learn its ins and outs and all that. They should be happy that we've stuck with this system for as long as we have and not be crying about wanting the next generation already.
And you talked about having games that are, you know, playing that come in late on a generation and, you know, people don't buy them because there's a new system out. Look at God of War 2. That came out at the end of right before the PlayStation 3 came out. And I didn't hurt that game sales. I mean, if you make a good game, if you're worried about that.
But that's an established franchise. That's
Square Enix doesn't have a new IP. Square Enix doesn't have established franchises.
No, I don't think he was saying for himself. I think he was just speaking for in general. Let me read the quote.
Like if it's from a creative standpoint, then I understand. You know, he wants to move on and he wants to see what new technology can bring. But at the same time, we're getting games. We're not just getting retail games now. We're getting downloadable games where there's a lot of creativity going on, and we also had stuff like you know shake your head if you want, but like Move and Kinect and Sony just bought Gaikai, so we're seeing a lot more stuff. There's a lot more ways to deliver games and a lot more technology than there used to be with, like, say, the N64 or the PlayStation 2 or the Dreamcast.
All right, let me read you his quote real quick. It says, "This generation has been way too long. I say this because you have a lot of developers that work on a new platform and perhaps will not succeed. So they will wait for the next generation and will jump on that platform. You could not do that with this generation, though. So these developers went elsewhere to see if grass was greener. They found web browsers, they found iOS, they found other things, and a lot of them won't come back to the hardware platforms. So you could look at it as thanks to Microsoft and Sony and the length of this generation, it helped emergence of other platforms and helped them get strong before the next hardware comes out."
That's a good thing. Like going to, like, making more games available on, like, browsers and phones and handheld devices, that's a good thing. I think I don't agree with his argument at all.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I mean, this system is still, I think, I mean, there's so much potential there, and I don't see why a new developer wouldn't, you know, jump on and make some PSN titles or some Xbox Live titles just to, you know, get their feet wet in the platform, and then, you know, they can build up to a better, you know, full retail titles and stuff like that. It's the same concept as making an iPhone game. You know, you're just doing it for the PSN, and, you know, if you're interested in developing for a Sony hardware, I don't see why you wouldn't, you know, take that route, especially since it's been out long enough. You know, the development, you know, tools are there. It just doesn't make sense to me.
But those new avenues that were opened up that he was talking about, where people have gone other, like, to greener places, as he would say, that opened up new opportunities for him should anything happen. And we're seeing a lot of layoffs and a lot of studios closed. What was it, Rockstar Vancouver, and what was the recent one, Project Sora, they were closed recently. And, you know, we're seeing that a lot of people they don't necessarily want to do big retail games anymore. They want to work on smaller projects. So expanding, if he thinks that, you know, Sony and Microsoft, which I don't think they're directly, you know, that they are completely responsible for this, but, you know, having games available on more platforms opens up more doors for him in the future, you know, and other people should something go wrong with the industry and you know, we have more layoffs and stuff like that.
It's a fair assessment there. All right, Rain, you want to add anything else to this?
No, I think I said my piece on it. I mean, you know, I don't agree that this generation of systems lasted too long. I think there's still plenty of life left in it if developers would just calm the hell down and, you know, make good content.
All right, speaking of having life left, The Walking Dead Episode 3 will be coming out in August. You like what they did there?
No.
Damn it. I thought it was a good segue.
You're getting good at this, Tricky. You've had practice before, haven't you?
Yes. Yes, episode 3 will be coming out next month in August. Alex, I know you're excited for this, and you have big expectations for episode 3, don't you?
I mean, if episode 2 really, if you can't tell from how I've kind of raved about it here on the show, it was spectacular. I sat down and I played through that really quick. I really enjoyed it. I think it was much better in episode 1. And if there's any way that they can possibly top that with episode 3, then we are in store for something really, really good. I think it'll be hard to do, but at the same time, they have set a tone that they seem to be – they set a good tone, and it seems like they are committed, you know, committed to quality, to, you know, making a really quality thing after, you know, a lot of people complained about Jurassic Park. It seems like they really have their stuff together at The Walking Dead. So I'm very excited to play episode 3. I've already finished episode 2, so I'm just waiting now. It's the waiting game. It's the worst part. But as soon as it comes out, I'm downloading it. I've already bought the bundle. As I said, I would recommend the bundle to anybody, and I just I can't wait for it.
All right, Rain, I know you said you're gonna wait.
I don't want to deal with the waiting game. You know, if I wait until all the episodes hit, which is fine with me. I mean, August is great. You know, get them out as quick as possible. Don't rush them. Make them good quality. But you know, the quicker they all come out, the quicker I can start playing the series, because I don't want to jump into it and then, you know, be like Alex and have to wait. Be like, oh, when's the next episode coming out? I just want to be able to knock it all out.
But see, the thing is, you're playing the waiting game. You may not be waiting in between episodes, but you're waiting to play the entire thing.
Well, I haven't had a taste of it yet, you know, so I don't have that whole, you know, just huge excitement. I mean, I'm excited to play the game, but, you know, there's not that anticipation. I don't have a cliffhanger, you know, holding me off until the next episode. So that's the way I see it, at least.
But see that...
And also, if you wait about 2 months after episode 5 comes out, you'll probably get free on PlayStation.
But this is one of those games where it's completely... yeah, everyone likes to save money, but this is one of those things where it's completely worth the money.
Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, I'm excited to play it. In fact, I'm hoping my fiance will sit down with me, you know, when I start playing it. But because she likes the television series, but I just, you know, it's the same way with the TV series. I hate having to wait a week or two for the next episode to come out. You know, I'd rather sit there and watch it on Netflix, you know, where I can watch episode after episode after episode and get it all done in one shot.
And I will say, though, that the way I view it is by playing each episode and then waiting for the other one, I'm building an anticipation and excitement that you aren't necessarily getting by waiting for the entire thing and then playing them all in one, in like maybe a week or something. Like I'm building up anticipation right now, whereas I don't think you are doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I mean, that's definitely one way to look at it. You know, you're getting it, you know, as it's coming out, whereas I'm waiting, and then I'm also trying to, you know, avoid anybody, you know, possible spoilers or anything like that, you know. So, you know, I have that extra, you know, job on my hands to avoid any serious content on it either, whereas you can take it and, you know, discuss it with people as it comes out, you know, and the anticipation is built up more for you that way.
All right. Yeah, but I mean, whenever, I can't stress enough, whether you decide to wait for it or whether you play it, you know, piece by piece, just play that game. At least try the demo, because I think anybody who plays it, you know, will really like it.
Yes. Thumbs up. Get the game.
Alright, speaking of getting games, if anybody's interested in PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, an official release date has been announced, but it depends on which territory you live in. If you live in the United States, you will be getting the game on October 23rd. October 24th, you will get it in most of Europe, and you'll understand why in a second. On October 25th, in Australia and New Zealand, and October 26th, in the UK and Ireland.
Awesome.
So, I gotta ask you guys, are you guys really looking forward to PlayStation All-Stars?
I'm not.
Not at all.
The thing about it is, I played it at E3, and yeah, it's fun, but I don't think it's... It draws obvious comparisons to Super Smash Brothers. People, you know, say it's a Super Smash Brothers ripoff, and yeah, it takes a lot of influence from Super Smash Brothers. But to me, it's nowhere near as fun as Super Smash Brothers. I think the game that I played had some balancing issues, and it's nice that Sony's doing a little bit of fan service, even if they're trying to kind of leech off an idea that Nintendo had. But I think it's nice to see Sony doing some fan service, because it's nice to see them get all these characters together. But at the same time, I played it at E3 and I had fun with it, but in retrospect, my excitement's kind of died down, because when I think about it, I'm like, it's nowhere near as fun as Super Smash Brothers. And you know, maybe, you know, one good thing that, you know, Sony got some good press for getting Seth Killian onto the project to help with the project, as we talked about last week, so that'll help him out. But like you guys, I just don't know if I'm really excited for this game. You know,
I was never a Smash Brothers person. The game just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it's a beat 'em up. I understand that, but it doesn't appeal to me at all.
That's all it is. It's just a fan service fighting game, you know. It's just you're able to play a fighting game with the characters that you've played other games with.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the multiplayer. It's hectic. It's the multiplayer chaos, and some people love that. Whether you love the chaos or the nature of a first-person shooter or a third-person shooter like Resistance or Call of Duty in a small enclosed area where you've got a lot of gun battles, it's that kind of that kind of adrenaline of just being in a small arena and just this hectic, chaotic action, and it just being a lot of fun. So I mean, that seems to be the on top of the characters, as Brain said. You know, that's kind of the appeal. It's just kind of, it doesn't have to make a lot of sense. It's just supposed to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, if I pick this game up, it'll be, to put on my shelf to play with my kids, or, when I have people over, we're having a party or whatever, it might be something that we might throw in, and just have some drunken fun. It's not anything that I would be serious about getting. And if I pick it up, I'll probably wait till it comes down in price to something, a lot cheaper than a full release title, on launch before I pick it up.
Alrighty. All right, speaking of a game that I think a lot of people are going to be picking up.
Look at you, sly fox. Look at that segue.
Borderlands 2. Now, why are we talking about Borderlands 2? Well, in a recent interview, Randy Pitchford, who is Gearbox CEO, I think he's the CEO. Is he CEO?
He's a badass, I know that.
Right.
He's a badass. Gearbox's badass, Randy Pitchford, was done in a recent interview. And he says that he'd be interested in seeing a Vita version of Borderlands 2, but unfortunately his studio is occupied with the console and PC versions of the game and wouldn't be able to complete a PlayStation Vita version. But he said there are a lot of talented developers out there that can take the code, their source, and their content and perhaps create something like that. And that he's actually excited.
I'm sure Sony could find someone to develop it. The question is, would you want somebody else outside of Gearbox to develop it, as we just saw with Resistance, Burning Skies?
It's been hit and miss with that sort of thing. I mean, outside of the Sly Collection, I can't remember very many, intellectual properties that have been done by another studio that have been, successful.
Well, the God of War PSP games were always really good. Ready at Dawn always did a really good job with those. So it is possible, but It's murky waters when you give somebody else's property to another studio, especially one that people love the first Borderlands. It sold pretty a lot better than a lot of people thought it would, and people just seem to really like the game. So I think you're kind of it can be dangerous when you hand off that kind of property to another studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, you've got to wonder, okay, well, we can either put our trust in a certain studio to do this, or just not have a Vita version at all. And I think maybe you have to take that chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you can't afford to do it, I mean, if you want to see it done or you're excited about it, you kind of have to take a leap of faith.
Yeah, and for the fans, it's either you don't get one or you take a chance on getting a crappy one. You know, if I've got a Vita, I'm like, you know what? I'll take a chance on getting a crappy one. You know,
I gotta wonder how hard it would be. I mean, the Vita's a really capable machine. I would say, almost up to what the launch PS3s were, how hard it would be just to, make a straight port, I mean, because it's not like Borderlands pushes the edge of what can be done graphically, I mean, I know the Vita could do that.
As we've seen with the Sly Cooper Thieves in Time, it can't be that hard because that game, the PS3 version, the Vita version are, seem to be really similar.
Yeah,
so the technology seems to be pretty close, so it can't be too terribly difficult. It's just it comes down for Gearbox to time and money.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also because at the time you talk about Borderlands 2 has been in development for a while. Now I know the Vita's been in development for a while too, but I'm sure that when Thieves in Time was, being spitballed and developed and whatnot, they had a Vita version in mind. I'm sure Gearbox didn't really say, oh, this is a game that we want to put on to the Vita, because I'm sure at that time, they were probably a little apprehensive about can a first-person shooter work on
that. And I mean, it might not even have been on their radar. I mean, this is a game that's being developed for multiple platforms, whereas, you know, the Sly Cooper obviously is a PlayStation platform, and Sony was probably chirping in their ear the whole time saying, hey, you know, you should try and, you know, take a shot at the Vita version as well. But I'm just thinking that the power of the Vita is there, that, I mean, a straight port wouldn't be a difficult thing to do, and I wouldn't be brokenhearted if they didn't try and shoehorn in all kinds of, you know, motion control and touch control and everything like that on the Vita. I'm fine with them, you know, just straight giving me the version that I have on my PS3 and putting it onto the Vita for me to play as well.
Well, speaking of a game that hits multi-platforms, Angry Birds has been announced.
Every platform known to man. I think I have it on my toaster.
And
is it coming to Dreamcast? Can I get it on my Dreamcast?
I wonder if you can get it on your Dreamcast. I mean, the Dreamcast is so moddable. I bet you there's some emulator that'll play Angry Birds on your Dreamcast.
Boom, tricky breaking news. We're breaking it right here on Trophy Horse.
Activision has confirmed that Super Stardust developer House Marquee will be developing Angry Birds Trilogy. The set is available for $39.99 on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and $29.99 on the 3DS.
I could buy 30 copies of it on my freaking phone for that much.
They said the game will include the original Angry Birds, Angry Birds Seasons, and Angry Birds Rio, all in one disc or on a 3DS cartridge.
It would be space? That should be on the trilogy, I would think.
That comes out as DLC
later. Bet, yeah, ten more bucks.
Angry Birds Trilogy will also support Microsoft Kinect, PlayStation Move, and Street Pass on the 3DS. First thing I'm going to say about this is, one, do we really need another version of Angry Birds? And two, are they smoking crack by selling them for $40?
Yes and yes.
No,
we can never have enough Angry Birds.
Apparently... I don't think it's necessary, but, you know, hey,
they'll sell like crazy. It doesn't matter. Angry
Birds, they can sell it for $40 because people will buy it because people
are retarded.
And then they'll pay $10 for
Space as the DLC add-on later. Yes, they will, and they will buy it, and they will make another $1 billion on a game that's been out forever, and you can buy it on any platform. Whether we need it, no. Will I buy it? No. But people will buy it, it will be successful, and they will continue to make gobs of cash off of this franchise.
It's got to end soon, right? It's got to end sometime where they stop making gobs of cash off this franchise, right?
Well, you would have thought that after Rio they would have stopped making money, but no, they came out with Space.
Yeah,
the thing about Angry Birds is that people like us, people who game regularly, and then people who play games every so often, like maybe on their phone, everybody can get into Angry Birds, and that's why it's been so successful. Yeah, that's why it's been so successful, and they've got T-shirts and plush toys and stuff like that. They've got, yeah.
Do you know, I was in my local gas station. They actually have Angry Bird gummy bears.
Yeah, I saw those. Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Does it really surprise you? I wouldn't be surprised if they came out with Angry Birds labeled juice, like
vitamins. You know, like the Flintstones vitamins, but Angry Birds.
Rockin' Red Bird fruit punch.
There you go.
Don't steal that.
It's gone. It's already on the shelves. If you go down to Walmart right now, you can pick it up.
No. There goes my $1 million idea.
Yeah, it's gone. But yeah, no, that's the death. It is what it is. I mean, Angry Birds will continue to pick cash.
So you're not gonna buy it?
I don't think I'll buy it. No, I know I won't buy it. I don't even think.
Alex?
I haven't played Angry Birds on my phone, on a handheld system, on a piece of toilet paper, in my kitchen, on my refrigerator with magnets.
You've never played Angry Birds?
No, I have never played Angry Birds at all.
Wow.
Nope.
Okay. All right, that is going to bring us to the end of the topics this week. Rain, as we do every week when we bring a guest on the show, we give you a chance to talk about any one topic you want to talk about. This is your opportunity. What would you like to talk about?
My topic is Extra Life. What do you guys think? You excited? You getting geared up for it? I Hi. Personally, right now, I am selling candy bars like crazy. I go to Sam's Club, I buy like a 30-pack of candy bars, I go and flip it, make a $15 profit, buy more candy bars. I'm up to like $150 right now, and I've only been doing it for a couple weeks. I've got a long ways till October. I set my goal as $500, and plus it keeps it fresh in my mind. I'm super hyped about Extra Life.
Well, I don't see how anyone could not be excited for Extra Life, because it's a very easy way to help out some really needy kids. And, you know, it's doing something – it combines two things that are really great. You know, we all love to play games, and, you know, hopefully, you know, everyone likes to help kids. So it's – you can do something, you know, something you love, and at the same time help some great kids who, you know, who are going through a lot of maybe some, you know, difficult diseases, and they need a little help. And it's just a really great charity, and it brings a lot of excitement every year, and it's really grown into something spectacular. You know, we started it on Sarcastic Gamer, and it's, you know, it's Doc's brainchild, and he's, you know, carried the flag. You know, he's just been tremendous with it, and it's just grown into something that everyone who has been a part of it can be proud of. And I'm already starting to think of games that I can play. You know, it's I think it's October 20th this year.
Yes, yeah, October 20th.
Yeah, I am very excited for it, like every year. So I plan to, you know, be on in tiny chats with people. I plan to get on Skype, and I plan to do it bigger than I ever have this year. So I'm excited about it, very excited.
I'm actually let me start. 2 years ago, I did the Bladder of Steel Trophy in Rock Band 2, and if you want to hear about that story, go back and listen to episode 1. That was a very fun experience. I'm being sarcastic there. Last year, I did the Endless Setlist 3 with Dr. G-Pets online, only to find out after 9 hours of doing it that you can't do it online. That the trophy doesn't pop if you do it with an online.
I thought you were about to say after 9 hours you found out it was endless.
No.
It was truly endless.
So, you know, that kind of pissed me and Dr. G-Pads off a little bit.
That does suck.
But this year I am actually going to go through and do it again on my own. And I am going to live stream the entire thing. My goal this year is to raise at least $500.
Yeah, that's where I set my goals at 500, and I think I'm going to surpass that. If I keep selling candy bars at the rate I'm going, I mean, I'm going to blow that goal out of the water, which is good because I set up a team this year for the first time, and I set our team goal at 1,000, and I'm thinking I might have to carry the rest of my team because I don't know that they're going to be able to handle it. This is all their first year because they've heard me talk about it for the last 2 years, and so they were always wanting to do it, and this will be their first year, and I just don't think they're going to be able to take up the rest of the slack.
Well, I just hope we surpass the total from last year. I mean, last year's total, you know, overall total was...
I'm wearing the shirt now. It's 1,108,204 was what was raised last year.
That is an amazing number, and I'm hoping we can surpass that. Matter of fact, I don't know if you guys got it, but I just received an email from Doc saying that over 2,000 people have registered already, and it's only July.
Yeah, no, it's
good
awesome.
Yeah, the great thing is that people are getting involved in this. They're getting started earlier and earlier. So it's you have more time to build up support and more time to spread the word. And it's just great to see it taking off as it has. And, you know, Rain, you talked about you created a team, which is great to see, and you're bringing more people, some first-timers into it. Tricky, does Proven Gamer have a team?
Yes, we have a team. It's established. It's a Proven Gamer team. So far, we have 4 of our staff members on it. It is not just for staff members. If you want to join the Proven Gamer team, just go to extra-life.org and sign up. Join our team. We really, really want to make Proven Gamer a strong force in this year's Extra Life. So anything you guys can do to help us out, if you want to raise money, if you want to donate, go to any of our pages.
Yeah, it is. I wanted to say that Big Red Barrel, we also have a team on Extra Life. And anybody who wants to is free to join the Big Red Barrel team. We'd love to have everyone's support. You know, it's kind of a competition between teams, but at the same time, the important thing is that we raise money for sick kids. That's really what matters. So just get involved somehow. If you want to create your own team, you want to go solo, you want to join the existing team, anything you want to do is fine with us. We just
Joypad and me also has a team. Joypad and me. I'm not. That's actually not my team. And mine's actually local people because I started it before I joined the staff at Joypad and Me. But they started a team, and so that's also available. They're actually pissed off that I'm not on their team since I'm making so much money already with these candy bars. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. You don't even have to join a team. The first 2 years I wasn't on a team, I did it solo. It's just the fact that you're doing something great to help the kids, and you're doing something you enjoy to do. If you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously a gamer, and so this is for you.
All right, that is going to bring us to the end of the show. Let's do a little bit of housekeeping. ProvenGamer.com is expanding. We are looking for writers. If you are interested in writing for ProvenGamer.com, please go to the site and click the Help Wanted tab at the top of the page and fill out the application, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. Also, we are now on Stitcher, which is an app on all smartphones. It allows you to listen to all your podcasts. I mean, personally, I'm going to say it right out, I love Stitcher. I think with the application of Stitcher, it has replaced my need to ever need an iPod again. I'm catching up on all my shows that I haven't listened to in a long-ass time. Okay. Alex, do we have any sponsors?
We do. We have Emma. Amazon!
Yeah!
Wow, that was damn close.
That was pretty good.
That was good. I think Dottie would be impressed with that. Yes, we are sponsored by Amazon. If you're going to shop on Amazon, we know you do. Please step over to ProvenGamer.com first. Click the link for Amazon and do all your routine shopping. It doesn't cost anything extra. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cause you to do anything extra other than clicking the link first. We would greatly appreciate it, all the staff members at ProvenGamer.com. Also, while you're on ProvenGamer.com, please stop by and read all of our articles. Check out our videos on YouTube, which is Official Proven Gamer. Listen to our other podcasts. We have the Reset Gamer podcast, which is the gentleman's podcast, which I hear nowadays their studios might be smelling a little different there, Alex.
Yeah, and I think it's a different color now, too.
Yeah, it's just...
Maybe and they've got some missing beer, too. And it's not the kind of beer that Titanic and Moonshiner sneak out at night in their
hoodies. From the neighbor's garage.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, they're not missing beer. It's just a little different nowadays.
Not as good as Michelob Ultra, which is saying something.
Also, listen to the DCUO show, which is Saving the World One Podcast at a Time. Also, listen to Gamer Introduced, which is Rain. You were just recently on that show, weren't you?
I was on episode 9 of Gamer Introduced. It was a good time. It's actually a pretty good show. I pick it up every week when they release it because it's kind of neat to hear, you know, other people's stories about how they got into video games and what their influences are and stuff like that.
And also PG Spoilers, which whenever the hell we decide to put out another show, which I don't know, PG Spoilers is kind of in the wind right now. Also, if you want to contact us on Twitter, you can hit the show up at Trophy Horse. You can hit the site up at Proven Gamer. You can hit myself up at Tricky Mick. You can hit Alex up at Saundasaurus Rex. You can hit up Rain at MN Rain.
NM Rain, yes, sir. Okay.
As in New Mexico.
Yeah, he keeps going MN, like Minnesota.
No,
and
I said
NM,
I said,
like New Mexico.
I say NM, don't I?
You said MN.
Okay, well, you know what?
Eminem Rain.
Hey.
Eminem Rain.
Also, if you're on Facebook, which we know you guys are, please search for Proven Gamer and click that like button. If you,
how'd you know I was on Facebook? Are you stalking my page, Tricky?
Yes. Okay. Also, if you are a PC...
Checking out your post about Rosie the Robot from Jetsons.
Everybody enjoys those old school posts.
Also, if you're on Steam, join the Proven Gamer Steam group that is headed up by Hard Rockin' Guy. Also, if you can and will, please go to iTunes, leave a rating, preferably 5 stars, and leave any comments that you can. We all greatly appreciate it. Alex, is there a phone number somebody can call?
I think it's the Proven Gamer phone number. It's 330-PROVEN-9. That's 330-776-8369.
All right, shout-outs. Let's start off with our guest. Rain, do you have any shout-outs?
I'd like to thank you guys for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure. I'd also like to shout out the guys over at Joypad and Me, which is the site that I write for, Proven Gamer, Big Red Barrel, Extra Life, those are all of my shout-outs. Thank everybody.
All right, and what about you, Alex?
Oh, I've got plenty of shout-outs this week. Are you ready?
Go for it.
All right, well, first off, I'd like to thank NM Rain. That's NM Rain for coming on the show on such short notice and helping us out here with our recording this week. A shout out to Donnie who couldn't be with us this week, but you know, we always miss him, so I want to give a shout out to Donnie as well. And a shout out to just some other people who have been on, helped us guest on the podcast before. People who have been on, I want to throw a shout out to Pac-Man Polar Bear, I Yield to No One, and of course Candace. And shout out to the Big Red Barrel community. Thank you guys who in the community for all the support, and you know, everybody who works for the site, just for making that such a you know, wonderful thing for me to come home to every day. I really appreciate those people. And just a shout out to a couple awesome people on Twitter. Jake Plus Plus, he's also a fellow Louisvillian. He's a great guy, so you should definitely follow him on Twitter. And also JSimmons7521. He's also formerly known as Captain Dude Man, but you should definitely check him out. He's a great guy too. So, you know,
he doesn't call himself Captain Dude Man no more.
Nope, JSimmons7521. So, you should definitely check those two guys out on Twitter, Jake Plus Plus and JSimmons7251. You know, as well as everyone else's. You know,
I like Captain Dude Man.
Well, you know, you have to send him an email about that.
I'm definitely going to now. And
no, you're not.
Yes, I am. I'm typing it up as we speak. I'd like to give a shout out to every Proven Gamer staff member. You guys have made this site grow a lot in the last few months. You know, it warms my heart to see all you guys doing such a great job. Joypad and me for letting us use MN Rain on such a short notice. Did I say it wrong again?
What's that? I'm sorry. NM Rain. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. I was on Facebook. My bad. shocked me back to reality. I was
that's it. We're done.
My bad.
If there's nothing else, guys, until next week, happy trophy hunting.
By the Walking Dead.
Do it. Do it now.
Brains.
I'm going to play my Mortal Kombat on Vita that I just got.
Well, it's the end of the show. Let the credits roll. Y'all gotta go. And I'm about to pull a puppy. Shut down the studio. But how was it, though?
It was dope. Had me rolling on the floor, yo.
Oh, squaw.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a download Simone. And I'ma let people know. Y'all the real trophy hoes.
Thanks, bro. Tune into the iTunes radio. And just like before, thanks for listening to the show. Oh.